It's the 16 Bitchin' Podcast!
You suck!
Indeed. It is resurrected from the graveyard of fallen gaming podcasts, for which there's about a million of them. But here, at least, we focus on relaxing after what was most likely another crappy week on this dirtball planet. And yes, it's Saturday, so we can finally sit back and play some games.
What was that? What?
Your wife wants you to do some chores? Well, shit. At least we can talk about games, and we are keeping up with the style of the last season in its basic format. No, we ain't covering gaming news, because let's face it, every bugger out there does that. Here, we are going to talk about one modern game, one retro game, and one indie game, and a bunch of other bullshit in between. Now, first off, I need to let you know about the release plans for this podcast. Every Saturday, you will get a new podcast. For as long as I have fun doing this shit. And then the next Saturday, that same podcast will appear on YouTube. This is simply because I don't care much about YouTube, and I don't want its bullshit algorithm taking a dump on all of this. So I'm going to try things this way for 2, maybe 3 weeks and see how things go. If it works out, then that's how it will stay. If it doesn't, then I'll either stop releasing it on YouTube altogether or keep it solely on podcast places like Spotify, etc. Well, hell, I might try releasing it everywhere at the same time. Basically, for this first episode back, I'm having to experiment with the releasing of it all. And yeah, the YouTube release of this will have changed a bit from the way it was all presented in the last season. There will be game footage and various other crap to see as well. So, yeah. I think I covered all that crap. Well enough, at least. So, yeah. Next is, what's new with me? Well, I've come back to this. Yeah, we thought I'd be gone forever, but I've returned in some format. I think Zobster said it best. You'll have to read comments in other places for that. Zobster, you dirty, dirty-minded creature. Some of you may be asking, will there be interviews with YouTubers down the line? There will be interviews down the line. Sometimes YouTuber, sometimes someone else. Fat Zangief, I'm looking at you. Other than that, the only things that are new with me is something that's not new. Work is killing me. I am overdoing it. I am getting shifted around several work sites. I nearly got into a fight, and that's, that's caused a bit of commotion. That's fun. My back is broken like a fucking piece of bamboo, and it sounds like bubble wrap, which is delightfully shit. I made a discovery on a game that I've been playing since I was a kid. I absolutely love it. It's Pokemon Red. I can't remember if we ever spoke about it on this podcast before, on the last season, but I had no idea you could use cut on the tall grass that you encounter Pokemon in, and apparently it will destroy the grass. Well, no, apparently. I've tried it now, and it works. I had no idea this was a thing. How have I gone 20-plus fucking years without knowing that? It's amazing that this still happens to me. The last time that happened was when I found out on Pokemon Yellow, if you go up and talk to Pikachu when you're in Dark Cave, he can do a little zap thing and he lights up the cave for all of a hot second, and that stops you having to use Flash, kind of. Didn't know about that back in the day, but it's cool. You know, I found out a thing that I never knew, and I feel like an idiot for it. But let's face it, no one really talks about it. Oh, I have also been converted to the Evercade side of the Force. Yes. Since Christmas, actually. A friend of mine that I tend to chat a load of YouTube shit about. Thinking about it, I won't say his name, I'll say his channel name. It's called Retro Gaming Lore. Check it out. He's only been doing the retro gaming side of YouTube for a little while. He's been doing YouTube in other formats for quite a while. He's doing quite well, but I don't know if he blames me or not, but he decided to have a go at the retro gaming aspect of it all, and he comes across as someone that's very opinionated. You may think he's being serious the whole time. He's not. It's, you know, don't, I don't know. Just check it out. Fuck it. he convinced me to check out Evercade. I thought, okay, why not? I can't afford to collect for Master System anymore. I'm too poor for that shit. Can't do it. Game Boy's great to collect for, but it's one of them ones. All the great games I either have or... yeah, they're stupid money. And it's a real pain in the ass. Evercade, when a new cartridge comes out on Amazon, it's £17.99 straight away. That's brilliant, because when Nintendo come out with a new thing, depending on whether it's AAA or something else, it could be £25, it could be £45, it's all over the place, and it's always been like that with gaming, isn't it? But the Evercade, less than 20 every time. The only time it goes up in price is when they've stopped making a cartridge because it's been out for so damn long, and bastard scalpers on eBay think, I'll raise the price of it, and they fucking do. So Evercade is a great affordable way for me to get into collecting a bit more now, and my kids are getting into it as well. It's fucking great. So yes, Evercade is the way of the future for me, at least at this point, kind of. I wonder if I'll ever... yeah, you know what? I might do an Evercade special podcast. I don't know. This episode's going to be very experimental. I'm getting back into the swing of chatting shit to a room with no one fucking in it, which feels weird. It's amazing I did that for 7 years and just like a month or so off, and I'm already weird about it. And other than that, it's just that Retro Refresh, the group Retro Refresh, are still doing the game of the month, which has been quite fun for me. It's forced me to complete more games rather than just play it and go, nah, I'm shit, not playing it. This month, the retro game we are going to talk about is this month's game of the month. Thank you, Captain Kirk Wanker. And that's that. We've gone about the news, how this podcast is going to come out, if I've forgotten something. I like how I use the word if then. That's funny, that, isn't it? Knowing that I've fucking forgotten something, bugger it. We're going to move on. Like I said, we're continuing the old format. One modern game, one retro game, one indie game. Now, a friend of mine said, could you, for this new season, my mate Rob says, can you do more PS3 and more PS2 games? I said, sure, PS2, I don't know if everyone would say it's retro. I mean, it's old enough in my eyes now. You think of the release date of the PS2 was over 20 years ago, so I guess that's pretty much on the cusp of retro. PS3 is not retro, but it's not exactly modern anymore. But I decided, fuck it. It's just because it's not quite this one, but not quite that one, doesn't mean, oh, I'm not allowed to talk about it, so I'm going to fucking talk about it. We are going to cover the PS3's awesome game that I love to bits, and I was generally shocked that I haven't spoken about it before on this podcast. Or at least I haven't dedicated an episode of this podcast to it. I thought I had, but looking back through the back catalogue, it was like, no, wait, I haven't. I'm sure I have. I even went on my own bloody YouTube channel to look through the playlist and go, no, it's not there. Could have fucking sworn I'd done this. So if, by some black magic, this is the second time we're talking about it and the first one isn't popping up and I couldn't see it, I would like to point out, fuck knows and fuck cares, but I'm fucking doing it. Also, welcome to the sweariest podcast you will hear today. This game is Dead Space.
Isaac, I know this isn't how you wanted to hear from me, but I didn't know who else to trust.
What is going on down there?
God's work. It could change everything.
Those things, I recognize their faces. I've worked with some of them. They were good people, and now they're killing everyone.
People are dying down there.
God moves in mysterious ways.
in the far reaches of outer space, the SC Kellion, a small shuttle, is responding to a distress call from the USG Ishimura. The Kellion has a crew of only 5 people, 2 of which are merely soldiers. They aren't even named in the game, to my knowledge, and if they are, fuck 'em. There is Isaac Clarke, the engineering and ship systems specialist, Kendra Daniels, the computer specialist, and Zach Hammond, chief security officer. Their directive is to locate the mining vessel USG Ishimura and diagnose and repair communications. Upon finding the ship, they are unable to successfully hail it. They go in for a closer look. When they get there, all turns to shit. They try to land. They don't do a very good job. In fact, you might say, they crash. In fact, it's not that you might say, they did. They crashed inside the Ishimura's landing bay. But at least they got into the ship, I suppose. That could be a little bit worse. Once inside, they realize all is quiet. They just crashed a damn ship in here. How come no one's appeared and gone, "Oi, we dead"? Where is everyone? They walk along, silently, hacking their way through doors and stuff like that, to try and find out what's going on. Why is this place like this? It's very strange. Where is the crew? All brilliant questions. Isaac, you, the engineer, no, you're not playing the part of a marine, you're not playing the part of a soldier, you're not playing the part of a captain or any of that other bollocks. You're an engineer. You Mr. Fix-It. So you were sent by Hammond, that guy, not the guy from Grand Tour, to go to the diagnosis computer on the other side of this wall / window. When you are there, you see that the ship, according to the schematics, is far past fucked, and there's a lot of things to fix. And then all of a sudden, the alarms blare. The room goes dark, but with an annoying flashy light. It's the quarantine. But why the quarantine? As you are thinking this and looking through the window at your mates on the other side, something falls down from a vent in the ceiling. It's hideous. Its arms are sticking up in the air with bone blades pierced out of the hands. Its jaw gone. Not a clue where that is. 2 little hands are pierced out of the stomach. The whole thing appears naked, but like some sort of carcass you'd find in a butcher's shop hanging from a hook. It attacks the soldier and pretty much annihilates him on the spot. Then goes for another one. But then the vent in the area you're in starts to shake. Isaac is told across the communication device to cheese it. Running for his life, he gets to the elevator, jumps in, the thing appears, opens the door, he thinks, well, that's me fucked, and then the door shuts and severs the thing into bits, head off, I can't remember. Either way, it's deader than it was already. That is the start to Dead Space. And what a start it is. Before I go any further into the game's story and stuff like that, I want to say about the little story of how I got this game. Now, some people have heard this little tale before, but for those of you who haven't, here it is. When I first found out about this game, it was years ago. You know, they've got the trailers out for this. I can't remember the year of it. Fuck it, who cares? I saw this trailer when I had a couple of friends around my place. I lived on my own. They would come round because we were younger and I was the only person out of all of us at their own place. So we just get pissed, play PlayStation and watch bullshit. We saw this trailer. Oh, the game looked amazing. I was sucked in. I thought, gee, look at this. Resident Evil hasn't got shit on this. I need this game. And the name Dead Space, I love sci-fi. I love alien, xenomorphs, all that shit. And here you've got it with zombie monster alien fucks. Yes, please. I want that game. One of the friends that was there, he's not a friend anymore, but that's his own fucking fault as far as I'm concerned. His name, we call him Cousins. cousins is a twat. He knew I wanted the game. He bought the game for himself. Just to say, look, I got the game ahead of you. I'm like, you son of a bitch, you didn't even want it that much. I wanted it loads. And I had my own place. I have more bills to pay than him. He lives with his fucking mum. Prat. But he got the game. He started playing it. He's like, do you want me to bring it around? We can try it. I'm like, no, because when you go home and take it with you, I can't stand that. I want to play it, man. You know? Week after that, he comes around and says he needs some money. Is there anything I can buy off of him? I'm going, no. I don't want any of your shit. Cousins was a druggie. Big druggie. Ketamine was his fix. I've no idea what he's into now. Probably still that shite. He offered to sell me Dead Space. I go, why the fuck would I buy your Dead Space? I can buy it new. Why would I buy your one? He's going, oh, come on, I'll do you a deal. Do you a deal. No, I can buy it new. I would like it new. All right, how about for a tenner? A fucking tenner? For a brand new PS3 game? All right, then. So that's how I got Dead Space. I only paid a tenner, and it was off of someone who played it, I don't know, 2-3 times. I mean, that's as new as it can get when you're buying it pre-owned. So brilliant. Awesome. And that's a little story about how I got that. But I fell in love with this game. It was such a great game. I love the series. Oh, I could waffle on about that. Let's try and focus on certain things. So the story, without going into any spoilers, remember, we're only focusing on Dead Space 1. We're not going into the prequel, any of the sequels, side games, movies, comics. Yes, there's tons of shit. When I say movies, it's actually, it's anime. So some of you might not consider that a movie, but there was two animes. One is full anime, standard in its style. The other one flip-flops between anime and CGI type styling crap. It, brilliant film, but its art style's all over the place. Intentionally so, and I know that doesn't make any sense, but trust me, it is. The reason why there's so many side things to this game is because the story is so rich. I mean, this is the first of its kind, Dead Space. It's the first one to come out, and already the story is so rich, it's like it's got so much backstory, it put Halo to shame in terms of story, in my opinion. Halo, when that first came out, straight away you're thinking, where am I? We're next to a bloody great big ring. What's a covenant? What am I? Who's what? What's going on? But you learn fairly quickly the basics, and you learn more and more as you go on. Well-paced. Dead Space has done exactly that. Exactly the same. Starts off, you're going, where am I? What's this? What's an Ishimura? What's that zombie-looking fuck that's trying to kill everyone? What's going on? You learn a bit at a time. A little bit at a time. And it does it really well in the pacing. But the story is so rich, so good. I think it could rival fucking Star Trek with the amount of crap going on in it. Not in terms of the amount of species and aliens going on there. It was just story, backstory, you know. And something that it thrashes Halo and Star Trek on is the gore. As if you couldn't figure it out already, the gore is beautiful. It's fucking everywhere. It's intense, immense, and just doesn't even try to hide it. When you die in Dead Space, you can die in so many fucking ways. I'll never forget the end fight. I was playing it on one of the harder difficulties. Got killed, but I didn't just get killed. I got lifted up, bitten in half, and then my legs are slammed against the floor and then thrown to one side. It's like, ah, I think I died. But it was a case of, instead of going, ah, shit, I died, ah, bugger, it was, you're looking at yourself being mutilated, going, ah, whoops. And then you have a little laugh, going, fuck me, I'm not just dead, I'm dead, I'm fucking dead. It's brilliant. The game was made by Visceral Games, and I love them, I thought they were so good in everything they were doing. But, they were, I think, bought out by EA. And the reason why the Dead Space games ended was EA eventually decided we don't want to focus on single-player games anymore. The money is in multiplayer shite. So Dead Space, having been, well, except for Dead Space 3, was primarily single-player. And because they didn't want to focus on that anymore, they just shut the whole thing down. I hate you, EA. You absolute fuckwombles. I know today they've remade the first Dead Space. I would like to say I have no idea if that one's any good, because I don't have a PS5. Yep, I'm too poor for that shit. And it seems like it might be a bad idea to do it anyway. I have no idea what Sony's doing with the PS5, but it doesn't seem like they're doing a lot. Looks like they're already thinking about saying sod it and go to the PS6. Anyway, enough of that shit. I can't comment on the remake. I know nothing about it. So this is PS3. I should have said that earlier, that I'm not focusing at all on the PS5 one. It could be better. It could be worse. I just don't know. So fuck it. Ignore that shit. Also, how can you tell if you have a good horror game, if you have something truly immense? I'll tell you how. If you can take a nursery rhyme and fuck it up in some freaky way, you have successfully created horror. Listen to this.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond. Sun is gone when the nothing shines upon. Then you show your little light, twinkle, twinkle all the night.
How weird is that shit, eh? I mean, it's brilliant. I love it. And funnily enough, like later on in the story of the later games, the lyrics within that very well-known song seem to make more sense to certain things going on. Within this first game, not so much. Later down the line, yeah, actually. Kind of freakily so, as if they planned it from the beginning, which I don't think they did, but yeah. Now we focused on the graphics, we focused on the music, we focused on the story. What about the gameplay? The heart of it all, the most important? It's your most important thing. Yeah, I don't bother fixing every fuck up in the edit in here, bollocks to you. So when it comes to the gameplay, how do you tell if you've been hurt in this sort of game? Well, if it's Resident Evil, sometimes you're limping, or you got to pause it and you see a stupid little heart monitor thing and it's going red and all that shit. In this, you don't need to pause it. There's a weird sci-fi doohickey on the spines of every person, every character. It's like, well, it starts off, I believe, 4... might be 5, but 4 little green bars. That is your health bar. And it's really weird. I have no idea what made them think of this, but it's really clever. Instead of having to look to the corner of a screen or pause it or some bullshit like that, your health is always visible because it's on your character. In a way that could be quite well accepted as just a futuristic space suit kind of thingy to have. Why? I don't know. I can't say I've looked into the blueprints of why the fuck you'd have this thing in the future, but you do. As a gamer, it's great. I love it. I think it's really inventive, thinking outside the box in a quite clever way. Another thing I think is quite clever, but they did away with it in the sequels. Isaac, your main character, Isaac Clarke is his name, he's effectively a mute. Now, he does have a diary sort of thing, mission objectives, whenever you, not pause, but you can bring up a menu to check out your inventory, a map, location beacon sort of shit like that as well for the map. You can also check out, I don't know how to put it, Isaac's thoughts on certain things, like, I have to go here now. This place is dangerous, blah, 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 blah. Won't go into that because I might risk ruining something story-wise, which I really don't want to do. There you see Isaac's thoughts. He is not completely brain-dead, but he is a mute. He doesn't have a voice unless it's from screams or shouts when stomping stuff or getting fucking murdered. In later games, Isaac has a voice. At first, I hated it. It just felt like you didn't need to do that. And you know, if you're a fan of the games The Suffering, in the first The Suffering, the main character, Torque, is a mute. scarred by all the things that have happened. So I kind of just put it as the same thing. Isaac was a bit scarred by all this freaky-deaky shit that's happening, so he doesn't speak. Which is fair enough, in my opinion. In the sequel to The Suffering, I've forgotten the name of it, but that one, Ties That Bind? Something like that. Crap game, but they kept him as a mute. And I thought it worked well. Whereas in Dead Space, now he speaks. And it was a little jarring. And I just think it would have been better if they had treated it as he's a mute because of all the shit that's happened to it. I feel like it would have had a more impact. You know, less is more. That's just an opinion. You might not agree with me on that one, but
that's an opinion.
Obviously, the main thing with this game we haven't even really touched on yet is the monsters. They are called necromorphs. They are walking corpses. I'm not going into too much detail about the backstory of how they've ended up like that. Play the game to find out. You can't just shoot them in the head. It's not a zombie thing. Shoot them in the head. Hey, I killed it. No, you can shoot their fucking head off and they'll still come at you. Why? Again, can't tell you. Don't want to ruin things. You have to sever the limbs. You have to cut off arms. You have to shoot off legs. You're not using guns as such most of the time. You're using futuristic cutting tools like a saw. Or my favourite weapon is the force gun, which is basically this game's shotgun. It can also fire, shit you not, like an explosive cannonball. So this is a force cannon shotgun thing. It's fucking brilliant. They ruined it in some sequels. Was it Dead Space 2? Did they change it there? I can't remember. Dead Space 3, it was definitely ruined. But in Dead Space 1, it was the tits. Force gun. Love that thing. So the necromorphs come in so many different shapes and sizes. When we were first playing it, it was me playing it and friends would watch and have a few beers, you know. We came up with names for the necromorphs. The main one is called a slasher, but we called it Stabby Bastard. Another main one is this one called, I think it's like the Leaper or the Lurcher or something like that. It's essentially a torso where the bottom half has been converted into a spine-like tail and it jumps through the air, flies at you in a real freaky way. We just call them jumpy buggers. And like the babies, I can't say what we called the babies because that kind of humour's too fucking dark. Just think, what would you call it if you were thinking really dark? So we ignore that one. But there was another one. There's a necromorph that comes after you throughout, not the whole game, a few chapters of the game. I believe he was called the Hunter or the Ubermorph. We called him the Relentless because back then we drank beer and relentless energy drinks. And this fucking thing was relentless because he never soddingly left you alone. He kept coming after you. So it just seemed like a clever name, but so many of them had stupid, dicky nicknames. Like, there's a boss in it called the Leviathan. Even though I think that's the boss, that's essentially a giant, pussy thing that consumes a wall. We called it the Cyst. We had loads of stupid nicknames. I cannot remember all of them. If I played the game right now, this second in front of me, and monsters were appearing, necromorphs were appearing, I'd probably remember at least another few, but that'd be it. You do have the ability to, say, when you've shot off one of the bone knife-like arms of a necromorph, you can use telekinesis, a technology thingamawatsit, to bring it to you and then launch it at them, impaling them on a wall with their own bone blade. That's pretty cool. You also have the ability to freeze time and stuff like that with stasis projectiles. Aside from that, I would love to talk about this game more, but I've already spoke about it a lot. And I have two other games to talk about, so we're going to have to move on. I know. I could Dead Space the fuck out of this, and I feel like I have already, so I need to shut up. We are going on to Retro Refresh's Game of the Month, as chosen by Chris of Telesplash Gaming. This is Super Nintendo's Mega Man X. The first in the Mega Man X games, the story on this one is basic, mostly a kind of backstory, and sometimes seems a bit stupid to me. So this Mega Man, this guy, the one on the front cover, the one you play as in the game, he is not the same Mega Man from the NES games. That's a different Mega Man. I know, it's confusing as shit. Basically, the NES ones, that Mega Man used to be called Rock. which is why in Japan it's called Rock Man instead of Mega Man. I know, keep with me here, and Mega Man X isn't really called Mega Man, he's just called X. Did that make sense? Have I cleared that up for you? No? Well, now you know how I feel. It confuses the shit out of me sometimes. Especially the first time I played this game. It's like, I'm Mega Man. What, did I go into stasis for many years and now I'm back again? Oh no, I'm not Mega Man, but I am Mega Man. I look like Mega Man. I look like Sega had a go at it when they did with Sonic. Made him taller and shit. No, it's someone else. It looks almost exactly the same. And was created by the same person, Dr. Thomas Light. So you think, where's Dr. I called him Willy, but Dr. Wily, where's he at? Oh, he's not here. At least not in this first one. Maybe he appears in other ones, I don't know. I've only ever played Mega Man X1. And I will say, it is a fantastic 16-bit game. It holds up really well. It's not easy, though. Should I focus more on the story for this? Oh, I don't think the story matters in this one. I mean, the Mega Man games, up to this point, have never had a hell of a lot of story going on. But this one does have a bit, I suppose. Basically, there's a new generation of robots built off of the design of X, originally. I have no fucking idea if this happens in the same universe as the NES Mega Mans. It doesn't feel like it. It doesn't seem like it. I don't really know. So fuck it. But some of the robots have now gone rogue, and they've become mavericks. Why would you call a rogue robot a maverick? I would call it a cunt, but whatever. Call it what you like. Fuck it. Who cares? The standard style, the basic format of the game, is the same as it was with the 8-bit ones. You get a pick from robot bosses, masters, whatever you want to call them, and you can choose the order of which one you fight, which level you go to. Now, whereas in the 8-bit ones, you could take on, let's keep it simple. In the first one, you had a fireman and you had an iceman. So you think, okay, if I go and face this one and beat him, I will get his weapon, which will give me an advantage over the other guy when I go to take him on using that weapon. In X, it's the same thing, but they've added to it. There's a fire level, essentially, belongs to Flame Mammoth, I believe his name is. If you destroy... what did Jamie from the Button Bashers call him? Shit. He called him a bunch of names. He can never remember his name. He's like Frosty the Penguin or some crap. The Penguin. Fuck. If you take him out first and you do his level first, Flame Mammoth's level no longer has any lava. It's frozen. And in other places, if you do a certain level, then another level will become flooded. There's one level with a load of electricity, Spark Mandrel, I believe his name is. If you go and do another level before that, then Spark Mandrel's level won't have any power. There will be a ship that's crashed into it, I believe is the story. I don't know. But this factory is now much easier to navigate. In short, if you are struggling with a certain level, you can make it easier if you complete a different level before it. I know this is hard to keep track of. I'm not brilliant at Mega Man X. I'm very good at the NES ones, not to blow my own trumpet. I've completed all of them, and I can do them fairly easy. 16-bit Mega Man, I find to be more of a fuck to do. I have done Mega Man X once in the past. This game of the month, I'm now at the stage where all of the bosses are beaten. I've got to take on the final area to go to the final boss. I'm sure there's some like mini bosses along the way, or worse, boss rush mode, which Mega Man is famous for. When it runs out of ideas, here, fight everything again. Great, thanks, awesome, just what I always wanted. Cunt. Not to mention, the Mega Man X games are stupidly expensive. If you're gonna buy the original cartridges they came out on, they get more expensive as they go along, it seems. Mega Man X1, it's not cheap. It's like £80. This could be well off now. I've had my cartridge for a while. Mega Man X2 costs a lot more. Mega Man X3 costs a lot more. And it goes on and on. Until you get to the PS2 ones, then I think it drops a bit, but it still costs too damn much. That's why I got it recently on the Switch. So much cheaper, especially if you just get it digital and you wait for it to go on sale. I got them for a fiver. Go me. Don't use save states, though. I'm not even sure if the Switch has save states. I have to say, for 16-bit, graphically, it hasn't aged a day. It still looks wonderful, and for me personally, I did something I never usually do when playing it this time through. I used the smoothed edge filter. I think it really improved the look of just about everything, because beforehand it was so pixelated, it looked a bit blocky. And you think when you played it on the Super Nintendo with a CRT, it was not that. It was designed for CRT, it was smoothed out, everything looked great. Then when you play it in this pixelated version, some games look fine like that, they look great like that even. This one, in my opinion, looks shit. The smoothed edges really improved it for me. Something I really like about this one over the 8-bit versions, though, is the hidden items. Some of them are hidden in more of a plain sight, and it's like, well, I can see it. How the fuck do I get to it? Can I do a certain jump? Can I do a speedy boosty jump and get to it? No. How do I get it then? And you gotta think. There's always a way. Everything is obtainable. It's just how. And I like that because it means I got to think. Normally I don't like that, I know what you're all thinking, I'm an idiot. And you're right. But anyway, there are other hidden items in this game where you could walk past it 1,001 times until you think, where is the other thing? There's one hidden health up to every level, I think. So where the fuck is it for this level? I've gone through it several times, where is it? Then all of a sudden you shoot a wall or something you never shot before and you go, oh, this bloody wall breaks. Oh, fuck, that's why it's a different, oh, sod it. Never mind, go through here. Yep, there it is. Oh, I'll just run over here and nope, there's a mini boss. Oh, shit! And aside from the extra health stuff and the weapons you get from defeating bosses, there's also like suit upgrades for Mega Man or X, whatever the fuck he's called. A helmet that helps you smash through certain blocks. The dash ability that you really want. You need that. You have to have it to do just about anything in this game. It's on bloody Pingu's level. There's an armor that reduces the damage you take by half. It's a necessity. And, shit you not, there's a Hadouken you can get in this game. It's called a Hadouken. When X performs the move, he even says, Hadouken! In that kind of voice. Remember, this is Capcom. The people that made Street Fighter 2. You know, it's kind of okay for them to do this. So if anyone's going, no, it's a Street Fighter thing. Yes, it is. They're celebrating their own games. Who can blame them? And apparently Chris of Telesplash Gaming is so good at this game that he's trying to do a no-death run. He did have one go at it, and he managed to do all but one boss before going on the final area, I believe. And he just slipped, landed in some spikes, and you think, oh my god, you got that far without dying, and you finally died by bloody spikes, like a little bit of a slip? Oh, what a bastard. I think I'd flip my shit. Mega Man X is a great game, but its difficulty is quite high. Despite the fact that I know a guy who's trying to no-death run it, I can't see the youth for today having the patience for it. You need to practice, you need to get good. You can't just half-ass your way through it. You need to put in a lot of effort. You need to harness all your gaming skill to do this fucking game. It's a great challenge. I don't know if they managed to keep that standard throughout the series. I mean, I've heard that the Mega Man X games went downhill at one point and turned to shit. Many people have heard that. But I do know Mega Man X 1, 2, and 3 are meant to be the best, apparently. I've heard many people say that. But I do know they're fucking hard. Some people like say to me, what, you've beaten Mega Man 1 on NES? Yes, I've done it a few times, actually. It is a shit, because there's no password feature on that one. There's no saves. If you want to beat that game, you have to have the time to beat that fucking game. Or play it on the Evercade Pocket, the Capcom one. Then you can save state it. But no, don't save state Mega Man. That's cheating. But despite the fact that I can do the NES ones, and I've feel like I can push myself and do them faster, better, and all this shit. With the Super Nintendo one, there's something about the style where I just suck. I'm really not as good at the 16-bit games like I am the 8-bit games. And I've run out of time to talk on this one. It's my own fault. I spoke about Dead Space for too long. Who gives a shit? Mega Man X is a great game. It is the game of the month if you want to get in on it. There is a little bit of time left in this month. Not a lot, but there's a little bit. You can go to the Retro Refresh Discord and chat shit about it with us. I'm so good at this. I'm so good at verbalising. You'd think that someone that does a podcast would be able to speak.
You'd be wrong.
Now, on to the next game. The final game for your Saturday of chilling. It is the indie game, A Space
for the Unbound.
There are so many good things about this game. This is one of them times where I bought an indie game digitally because it was cheap. It looked good, I wanted to try it out. When I was done, when I had beaten the game, I enjoyed it so much, I had to go out of my way to get the physical. So I bought the game twice. Now you may think, why would you do that? That's fucking stupid. Or you may think, he's done that because he's a collector, he wants to have the physical. That's partially true, but the main thing for me is when it's an indie game, and if I love it, I want to support the person that made it, the people that made it. And the best way to do that, yes, buying the physical is a great way of doing it. More money. The digital is often cheap as shit. It's the only games that are cheap as shit these days when it comes to digital. This is a very story-heavy game. It's very, very deep. It's tough not to spoil anything, so I'm going to have to be very careful where I tread with this one. I'll only cover some of the very start, maybe, to whet your appetite, we'll see. I mean, the story itself, it evolves a lot down the road, with some really extreme changes in character development. The kind I would love to talk about, but I would ruin it! God, this is tough. How the fuck did I do this last season? So the whole thing starts off with a strange, like, kiddies fairy tale thing. Oh, it's kind of weird at first. You don't really know what's going on. It turns out you're all a school kid, and you're with this younger girl who's trying to write this story, and she's asking you for help. All seems innocent enough at first. This is also when you will notice the graphical style of this game. It's all 2D. It's all, like, pixel art, but it's really, really well done. We'll go on more on that in a minute. Let's focus on just the story for a second. So playing the part of this student, you go around this whole world that isn't based in Japan. I thought it was originally, but I think now it might actually be based in Korea. It doesn't really matter. It starts off with you just in search of this girl. Something terrible has happened. But you're missing parts of your memory. It's like something happens. Let's just say it's very bad, it's going a certain way, it takes an unexpected turn, and then you wake up in school with your face on your desk, and you think, what the fuck? What happened? Have I got amnesia? Did I dream that shit? What happened? And like I said, things evolve and they go mad down the line. It is really tough, not to spoil anything with the story on this one. It focuses around this main student and his girlfriend. Yes, there is that little kid who you think, wait, what happened to her? What do you mean, girlfriend? Yes, there's the girlfriend. There's also this little girl. And there's also this student. Other characters appear down the line. But the other funny thing is, some characters appear for the shortest amount of time. And they all get given a bit of a backstory. Now, you may think, it's a pain in the arse, isn't it? You gotta drag it out by having every character almost have a backstory. That sounds irritating. Well, you'd be surprised. The characters are all very likable. And the backstories for them, small at times, longer at others, are all quite enjoyable and well thought out. It's not the same shit for each person. Everyone has their own demons to face. You develop this power, shall we say, to go into the minds of individuals. And you can see what's bothering them, what demons they have, what skeletons hide in their closet. You can try and fix things. This will all have major consequences down the line. Messing with people's lives, thinking you're helping them. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. It's all innocent enough at first. But, yeah. As a game, there is a lot of reading throughout, but no more than, say, an old-school Final Fantasy or games of that nature. There's even puzzle solving here. Like I said, when you go into the mind of an individual, you're trying to help them out with certain shit. That certain shit is normally some sort of, because it's the person's mind, it's not a case of, I am sad because this. No, it's all weird, focuses on images. You have to solve a certain puzzle to, it's, how do I put it? Metaphorical problems that are going on in their head have certain images you need to fix. Someone might find themselves plunged in darkness, as if the world is just crushing in on them with pure shadow, and they feel like there's no escape from it. You could run around with a candle and light up the area, showing them that there is light at the end of the tunnel. You can see through the darkness. That sort of shit. It's not just a case of going up to them and they say, I'm sad. He's like, don't worry. Okay, never thought of it like that. It's not that kind of bollocks. This game does focus on a lot of different styles and different reasons for depression. And it comes at it from a very good angle. Focuses on the problems of these individuals in a really interesting way, a really entertaining way, I guess is the best way to put it. And when you're interacting with another character that has these demons and things going on with them, and I don't mean demons literally, I hope you understand that, it never focuses too long on any one person. So it doesn't become boring and like, fucking hell, are we still doing this? Am I still sorting this shit out? No, the game goes at a very good pace. It's not a long game. I have beaten it, I think I did it in 2, maybe 3 weeks, you know, every evening or every other evening coming home from work. And that puzzle-solving aspect here is very well done, and it rarely has to repeat a type of puzzle. The difficulty for them is fair, and only once did I go, fuck it, I don't get it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't figure this out. I'm going to Google it. There was only one time that happened to me, and to be fair, when I Googled it, it wasn't even a case of, oh, yeah, oh, shit, oh, it makes sense now. It was a case of Google it and go, nope, I still don't get this. So I didn't feel like too much of an idiot, because even when I was given the answer, I thought, I still don't know how you arrived at said fucking answer. So whatever. Oh, something I didn't say about the 2D graphics involved. Yes, it's pixel. But I have to say, the use of colour in the scenery in this game, all the backgrounds, really well done use of colour throughout. It's a fantastic game just to look at, but you don't have to just look at it, because the music that comes with it, it's terrific. It truly is terrific. It's fucking beautiful at times. It sets the scene perfectly. Whether you're in danger for whatever reason, yes, you will be in danger at times. Or it's all happy and calm and everything's relaxed and going well, the music fits it perfectly. As an indie game, this is one I recommend to everyone that likes story games. I know some people are aware that I'm a big fan of visual novel games. This is not a visual novel. It is not. I know it sounds like it at times when I go on about the writing and all that stuff, but there's a lot of puzzle aspects. There's a lot of go here, do this. The annoying thing is, for me, it was all this bonus stuff you could do. And it didn't say what the reward was for ticking off this list. Yeah, it's an actual list of bonus stuff you can do. Some of it's clever, some of it's silly, some of it's stupid. Like, one of them was, collect all these hidden bottle caps. I've gone, okay. And they're hidden across the whole land. I found them. I found all of them. No booklet. I found them all. I was very happy to do that. Another one. Well, I did all of them, bar one. One fucking thing I didn't complete. And I didn't complete it by one fucking thing. Pet all of the cats. Yeah, I missed one fucking cat. And the annoying thing is, I reckon I know where he was. The cat one's near the start of the game. If you feel like you haven't done all of, let's say, a side quest, don't go to the next chapter. You cannot go back. I thought the pet the cat thing was something that went on through the whole game. It does not. I screwed it up. And then later I found out if you do all of these side quests, you get a bonus bit at the end of the game, a little bit of extra story. It was like, oh, you
bastard! All because I missed one fucking stupid cat? Damn you!
Next time I play that game, when I find that cat, I hope there's the option to pet it and then kick it. A beautiful game. Beautiful to play. Beautiful to look at. Beautiful to hear. A fantastic indie game. And before that, we had that fantastic retro game, difficult as it is, and the fantastic modern game, yes, it's PS3, but fuck you, Dead Space. Dead Space, Mega Man X, Space for the Unbound, those were the games we spoke about today. I hope you enjoyed this first podcast of this new season. I don't know how it's going to go down with the whole releasing of things on the audio side of it with apps and Spotify and shit like that. Compared to the YouTube side of things, as again I said at the start, we're experimenting, we're seeing how it's gonna go. Enjoy the rest of your day, enjoy your weekend. Next week there'll be another one of these. I had fun. It was fun doing this. It was as fun as I remember it. I'm so glad of that. I was nervous. I was like, I remember it being fun, but it was actually shit. it wasn't shit at all. I've got to edit this and throw it together, but otherwise I had a good time. Thank you very much for checking out the 16 Bitchin' podcast. Maybe this is your first time trying this out. Maybe you're someone that's been into it for a while and you're glad it came back. Let us know wherever you can write whatever. Fuck it. I've talked enough and I'll see you next time.